Thanks very much, everyone. Okay, let's move on to communication items, please, starting with 367.
Request of Sherry Fishman to address council regarding issues in the Hawthorne neighborhood.
And they may want to come up together if there is a group here. I think there is, so.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor and City Council members. I request permission to change the order of who's speaking when. Okay?
Fine.
Thank you.
So I'll start. My name is John Light. Nice to see you all. I'm a resident in the Hawthorne area. The reason that some of us are here today is to address some persistent problems with essentially quality of life in the area. And it's, in some ways, it's unfortunate that we had to bring this sort of thing to the council. I would have expected we could have dealt with this at lower levels, but for 3 years we've been trying to deal with this with the police, with the parking authority, and other city organizations without much success. Essentially, we live in a strongly mixed-use neighborhood. We have, you know, suburban-style houses abutting right up against a vibrant commercial area, the Hawthorne area between approximately 50th and 32nd. And it's a great neighborhood to live in. My wife and I moved there about 4 years ago, and we love it. We just couldn't be happier living there. But in this kind of a neighborhood, you're going to have certain kinds of problems, and we don't think the city is doing a very good job of helping us deal with those. In the course of attracting a lot of you know, people to the commercial area and stuff, inevitably we get some people who are a problem and they cause problems. But when those things happen, we're not getting much action from anybody. The other folks that are here with us today are going to speak to some specific issues. A couple of the things that that I'm concerned about are, for example, people living in RVs on the streets. We've had a couple of people who have been there for almost a year now, just rolled into the neighborhood and set up shop, you know. And nobody in city government has seemed to know what to do with that. And we'd like to see that dealt with. We also have a problem with, believe it or not, just trash. We have no trash cans on Hawthorne Boulevard, which is kind of an odd thing to me considering how large of an area it is and how many people we have there. In general, I think this is a matter of learning to make a neighborhood like this work well. For the most part, it really does work well. We're not looking for some kind of heavy-handed, you know, vibe-killing police presence or something like that, but we do think it's important to get more attention to our area, and that's really why we're here. I want to mention briefly that recently the police started foot patrols, and we think that's a great idea and really a step in the right direction, and we're looking forward to seeing how that plays out over the summer. Okay, so Sherry is going to talk next and speak to some other issues that we have here. Thanks for your attention.
Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having us here today. I am a retired teacher, counselor, and now I work full-time as a volunteer on issues of social justice and poverty with the Jewish community and with the interfaith community, and I've met some of you in various capacities before. We are so grateful to Commander Dave for putting this foot patrol in the neighborhood. Our problem is about behaviors and not being able to navigate two businesses. When I moved to Portland with my husband, Paul Fishman, in 1978, I fell in love with this city and still am in love with this city. I love our environmental ethics. I love the way people have been primarily very civil to each other. Everybody still says thank you to the bus drivers. And that's a wonderful thing about Portland. It really is. But things have changed. A lot more people live here, and a lot more people need help. But what has happened on our streets immediately adjacent to our home is, as John said, people have taken the sidewalks as well as living in the neighborhood in RVs, and the sidewalks are impossible to navigate. We want to walk. We want to you know, support the environmental ethos of the city and not use cars to go shopping. But trying to walk through sidewalks crowded with people selling wares with dogs unleashed who won't move aside or leave any space for somebody my age. Skateboarders come at me on Hawthorne where the sidewalk is substandard width. I'm 70 years old and I have to jump out of the way. I can't do that anymore. I can't move as fast. People bicycle on that sidewalk. They sell their wares on the sidewalk. There's nowhere to step to if you have people spread out, backpacks, and they deal. They deal right there so that when my grandchildren were young, I always wanted to take them to Ben and Jerry's right around the corner from my house. It was a big treat. But walking through their parking lot or on that sidewalk now with people dealing drugs and dogs that look kind of vicious, it's not such a good thing for people to take their children there. They don't feel comfortable. I've heard my own guests come to my home and don't feel comfortable if they have to park and walk through that. They really don't. So what's helped? That wonderful on-foot police patrol, they're not there to harass people, but their presence has made a world of difference already. I've heard it from residents and merchants, and I'm hoping and imploring you to keep this going. It's a community police approach. Their presence is not to threaten. Their presence is to help, actually, something that we all want to do. So I thank you for your time, and I hope that we can work together. I really feel that we can, and I really appreciate having the police. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Boo Rigney, and I am the owner of the Ben & Jerry's on Hawthorne. And one of the things I can report is that since 2010, the shop opened in 1997, but since 2010, the sales have dropped roughly 20-25%. And this is not a destination, you know, people don't come to Hawthorne just to have Ben & Jerry's. This is about foot traffic that's out there walking around, and certainly they come and enjoy the ice cream. So I'm easily able to say that the store is the same, the ice cream's the same. Our staff feel very threatened by a certain portion of these folks that sit out. Opposite our store is the corner of the Umpqua Bank building. And recently, or a couple years ago now, a bike shelter was put in and enlarged, and there's hedge there. And it is an optimal spot for folks to hang out. And they come into the shop and open our pint freezer when we're busy, and then they sit boldly out on the curb and eat it right in front of us. And our staff, these young people that I employ, I never have one person closing, even all through the winter, even though I don't need them, because I don't feel that it's safe for them to be there alone. We have many incidents of people just hanging out. You can see by the photos there in the PowerPoint that these are not our customers, and we don't feel comfortable approaching them. And I want to say thank you as well for speaking with, like, Officer DeLand, who's come in and explained his approach, and just talking to these people, getting to know who they are, which ones are more traditional Hawthorne, colorful folks playing instruments and perhaps selling a few wares. But these other folks are not from Portland. They enjoy being there because nobody asked them to leave. And just simply the interface with the police lately has created a whole different sense. When we call them, they come, and they're able to just talk to them. They're not arresting them right and left, but they're not comfortable being talked to. Someone's looking at them and watching them now. So they come in and they move our pint freezer out of the way to plug in their cell phones. When we ask them to leave, they get very aggressive. We lock the doors and have to close because we don't know if they're going to come back in. These are not the people that have been on Hawthorne forever. And our customers are telling us they're not safe. They don't want to walk over. They'd rather walk in the other direction or get in their cars and drive somewhere else. So we just want to say thank you for the recent presence and hope it continues. And we're happy to work with you. Any ideas that you may have and other parts of the city may have to help us change our landscape, perhaps remove the bike shelter because it's not used for bikes. I can tell you that. And thank you again.
Thank you.
Need to bring up this slideshow. If I can find the right button.
Oh, right there to the left of the volume, next on the black line.
This one.
No, up.
Oh, up here. I see.
Right to the left. Right there. There you go.
It's a different version than I have. Mayor Hales and commissioners, my name is Paul Fishman. My wife, Sherry, and I own a home and live on Southeast Madison Street, not far from Ben and Jerry's. Hawthorne Neighbors is a coalition of residents and business people on and near Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard, and you just heard from three people who are active in our group and in our community about some of the many issues we face that have taken a heavy toll on livability in our neighborhood. The time limits today don't allow us to go into some of the other issues, so we're focusing on certain things here. The goals of the City of Portland that I took from the city website are certainly what every Portlander supports. However, I have to tell you that if we in the Hawthorne neighborhood were to grade you on achievement of these goals, we don't think you'd be very happy with your report card. The issues that we're talking about today are focused on behavior in public spaces. The Hawthorne has always been a unique area in Portland. We live there, we work there because it's a great neighborhood in many ways. But what we have seen is an increase in inappropriate behaviors on our sidewalks, on our streets, and even on our private properties. The Hawthorne Neighbors Coalition was formed last fall because so many of us felt invaded over the past few years by people who don't share our sense of neighborhood pride and civility. We were frustrated by the inability of the city to deal with these issues. We've been working closely with the mayor's office, the police bureau, and Commissioner Novick's staff, and we thank you all for that assistance. I can't tell you enough how much we all appreciate the new police unit that's been mentioned before. This started in early April, early this month, where officers are now walking the neighborhood. We're hopeful that this different kind of policing, using communication and compassion before enforcement, will make a difference this summer when things are typically the worst, as well as year-round. There remain, however, numerous issues that are not being dealt with because the police and other bureaus do not have the tools they need. In many instances, what we've found is that there are ordinances in place that could be used to address these issues, but the police and some of the other bureaus have been told not to enforce them. This has had a major negative impact on Hawthorne businesses and residents. The Hawthorne Neighbors Coalition is committed to working with you to improve the livability of our neighborhood. This includes the economic health of the Hawthorne businesses. We are asking you to do your part by providing the tools needed by the bureaus. Portland's a great city. We've lost the sense of civility we used to have, and we've accepted inappropriate behavior in our public spaces as the new norm. We can change this by working together, so please do your part. I've left a handout, which is a statement with names of businesses and residents who support it. It's just a small fraction of the people who do support it, and there's also a letter from another business that wasn't able to be here today. Thank you very much for your time.
Hey, thanks for coming. A couple of Commander Day's here, so I'm glad he got to hear your report, and I hope you continue to work with him in the Central Precinct on making sure that this foot patrol effort works the way you described, because that was the intention behind his initiative.
Yes.
There.
Yes.
Secondly, you raised the issue of people camping in campers or vehicles, and both Commissioner Novick's office and mine are looking into that because it's both a transportation and a police question, and it's not clear, it doesn't appear to be the case that it's covered by our illegal camping ordinance today. So that's an issue that needs further work on everybody's part to figure out what's appropriate and what the law says now and what it should say. And so that's a work in progress, but I think your situation, frankly, more than other parts of the city, has raised that issue of people in campers for the long run. The sheriff's also dealing with a kind of a similar issue in the river itself with people in boats for the long run. So we have a couple of kind of new and strange ways that people are living long term on the streets, so, or otherwise in public spaces. So we appreciate you raising that.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Fishman, I just had one question off your testimony. You said that the police had told you, there were some tools that they had that they were not able to use. What could you be more specific?
Well, the as the mayor was just talking about, the I've looked through the city ordinances. I kind of do that for a living. So there's one ordinance that talks about it's not allowed to park a recreational vehicle on the public right-of-way unless you're actively loading and unloading it. And it defines recreational vehicles as a vehicle designed for temporary living. The slide I showed you is obviously a camper van. It was actually plugged into someone's house. Someone's been living in that thing for a year in our neighborhood on the same couple of block faces. parking enforcement has said they can't do anything about it. There's prohibition on public camping or camping on public spaces also includes the term in vehicles. But I've been told by police officers that they can't enforce that.
Mr. Fishman, I'd be interested in a list of any and all existing rules that you believe the police have been somehow frustrated in enforcing.
I'd be happy to provide that.
The law's on the books.
Great.
And if there is an issue the council has to take up, and
sure,
with the police bureau, we'll certainly do that. But if you could give us a comprehensive list of any laws or rules that you believe the police have been either directly or indirectly told they cannot enforce.
Certainly.
That's a good place to start.
Okay, great. We'll do that.
Why do you see it as a problem that somebody's living in a camper plugged into a house?
Because my residential street is not an RV park. So if I have two or three vehicles parked in front of my house or on my block with people living in them, standing outside in the morning and washing themselves, letting their dogs run around, having parties at 2 o'clock in the morning.
They have no restroom facilities?
No restroom facilities. Commissioner, I'd like to give them your address and have them come park in front of your house. It's not an RV park. It's a residential street.
I think it's the lack of the restrooms, honestly. Yeah. We have a big problem with human feces and urination and all of our planters and bushes. And a photograph of a gentleman doing just that. Where are they going to go? They don't. There's no public bathrooms. So.
Yeah, it's some of these folks party through the night and keep people awake. They do drug deals out of those.
It's the behaviors rather than the fact that they have no other place to live.
It's the behavior.
We are so compassionate about that. I see these as two separate issues. But truly, if it were a consistent thing in front of your home, and people were having sex in between your house and the one next door, and you have kids, how would you feel?
That's not legal behavior.
Right. No. It's behavior you're talking about.
But it's inappropriate. If the city is supporting livability, to me it means I will fight for trying to resolve issues of poverty and justice and helping to find people places. As a matter of fact, I remember talking with you at a private gathering for something. I would love to work on this issue. And have been. That's why I go down to Salem and to D.C. I don't know what we can all do. It's not only our problem. You know that a lot of people just come here because they hear it's a great place to hang out. That is true, and that's what a lot of these. We have to separate that there are people who are desperate and living in cars and people who choose a lifestyle running around in camper vans. They're called travelers, and sometimes we get the road warriors. This is serious stuff. If you had to have it in your neighborhood all the time, I have to tell you one ironic story, if you'll let me. I have a meeting going on to show a film about hunger here in Portland, that the Community Relations Committee of the Jewish Federation was putting on it. I think it was either the Baghdad or the Hollywood. We've done it more than once, to raise awareness, to raise funds and food, and to raise a need for advocacy. While I'm having that meeting and we're reviewing the film, we live right near 37th. There's a steep driveway that's great for skateboarding, really great. When little kids come and do a few runs, fine. But these are the road warriors who come, and they do this skateboarding down this driveway, and it sounds like a freight train in my home. It's not my property, that driveway, but it's right under the windows where I'm showing this film. It's very difficult to deal with things when there aren't clear laws or a clear enforcement of codes that exist. I know it makes you guys look heartless if you're saying people can't live in cars. I mean, where can they live? On the streets? But I think they're two separate issues. We're only here to talk about behaviors and helping us have a livable neighborhood so we don't have to go out and do the job that we pay taxes for cleanup and yet we're scooping up human waste and picking up trash and taking our trash can only every 2 weeks and having to put bags that have been dumped in our trash can.
I think that's you just made an important point that there are various reasons why people are outside. There are people living outside or in cars in every single neighborhood in the city.
I know.
So when we're trying to devise rules and you say enforcement, it's challenging for our staff in many bureaus to draw a clean line or a clear line. There isn't a clear line between people who are not causing disruptive behaviors, not doing the things that you just mentioned.
I understand that.
And simply
and
living
I
in their
been
car.
I've working on that for years.
So my,
like,
yeah.
They're different things. These are different things. And I have to tell you, some of the people are coming to party.
We got to
move on to give one more point.
A thank you to Officer DeLand, because like you say, it is very complex. And we don't want to appear to be against the homeless. These are not, the people that need services. That's not what, me as an ice cream shop owner, I'm concerned about. I've got little kids and families who are not coming in. They don't feel safe. But when he goes out and actually speaks with them, then he hopes to, he tells me, carve out who's who. And I think that if you're there every day or almost every day, you're going to recognize who you can help, who doesn't want the help. There is a diverse population, and we recognize that. We don't want the whole population to go away. We just want the aggressive element.
That's right.
Okay. Thank you. So a couple requests. One, continue to work with Commander Day in our offices, but
sure.
Also with Southeast Uplift, your neighborhood coalition. Obviously, you're founded in that. But we're going to need to hear from them as well as you in terms of what you believe we should do together. And again, as Commissioner Fish said, we need to know what laws and statutes are on the books, which ones mm-hmm. are being enforced, which ones aren't, and which ones may need to be changed.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank
you very much.
For your time.
Thank you.
Next item, please.
Item 371, request of students from REAP, Inc. to address council regarding Black Male Achievement, a Student Perspective.
Good morning and welcome. Good morning. Please tell us who you are and thanks for coming in.
Hi. Good morning, Mayor and Council members. My name is Giordani Nicholas. I attend David Douglas High School. I am from Haiti, and I am a REAP ambassador. And one of the many struggles that Portland youth Black men face is education, from struggling in school, keeping up with grades, or fitting in with teachers. REAP really impacts the youth to show them that the streets are not the answer or jail is not an option. And I feel, one thing to emphasize is, anyone can have a lot of things taken away from them, such as money, your car. But one thing no one can ever take from anyone is education. And I feel like no one should, not even just in general, anyone should ever be deprived or at a disadvantage of getting an education. And I, some ideas I think are that the mayor and the city of Portland can help is creating opportunities for young Black men, such as job training or activities. And just little things that can really just help to change the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Morning.
Good morning, Mayor and City Council members. My name is Johannes Alamayo. I'm from Ethiopia, and I'm a REAP ambassador. The greatest challenge as a young Black male is dealing with being stereotyped. Black males are being labeled as a race with poor hope for success. I believe that there's not enough resources out there available to them. So, they get distracted like stealing or fighting or hustling. And I believe if there were better mentorships or, groups or clubs to join, Black males will be, more involved with the community and help better their lives. REAP makes a difference by empowering young Black males like myself and makes, change and just a better future for us.
Thank you.
Hi. I'm Okechukwu Werum from David Douglas, and I'm a REAP ambassador. And the challenges that Black males have in the Portland area is opportunity. And the reason why I say that is because there's not enough being done by the city, as I feel, to give young males like us that go to high school and middle school and elementary school activities to do after school that can help better us for our future and prepare us for the real life, as I would say. And REAP is one of the groups in the Southeast, Northeast metropolitan area that help empower us to be better people for our futures. And I feel like that the city needs to fund those kind of groups to help give opportunity to us kids who are looking for guidance and better activities to do rather than hang out at a Taco Bell or, you know, go home and watch TV or play video games because they don't have money to go to a community center. And I want to thank you guys again for taking the time out of your day to listen to us. And thank you.
Well, thank you and the other young men who are here for what you're doing to be leaders and to be advocates. And we appreciate what REAP's doing to try to change the futures and the outcomes for your friends and brothers. So we appreciate you being here and stepping up as leaders. That's part of what it will take to make a difference.
Mayor, I'd just like to point out that both the city and the county have a program called Summer Works,
yeah,
where we hire young people to work in various city bureaus and in our offices in the summer, get paid minimum wage, $9-$10 an hour. So if you're interested, now is the time to be looking into it because we'll be making the hiring decisions in May. So if you want to contact any of our offices about the Summer Works program, please do, and we'll hopefully plug you in with some jobs for the
summer.
All right.
Great. Hey, thank you very much for coming in this morning. Appreciate it.
Thank you.